Welcome along, everyone, to the second edition of Audio Only Racecast. We should be back live on your screens next week. Fingers crossed. Keep your fingers crossed for us. But
who do we blame for this?
You.
Okay.
Always. It's always Matt's fault.
Yep.
No, whatever happens, it's Matt's fault.
Yep.
All right. Safety car coming out and ruining George's race. Matt's fault. Or did it help Lewis? Anyway. If you're new to Racecast, for whatever reason, make sure you give us 5 stars as you will be listening if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other listening platform. Give us some sort of the equivalent of a like on YouTube, which is where we'd normally be, so you can check us out there. Just search Racecast into YouTube. And also, if you want to get involved in the chat on social media, just search Racecast there and you will find us. We do stay updated on there. So we're going to crack on now. We've got a lot to talk about. It's a double race. Like, we've got a race week this week, right?
Nope. Week after.
Is it?
Budapest. Week after.
Bloody hell. I thought we were going straight into,
into Budapest. No, it's a weekend of the 21st, I think it is. 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Did you put the little race noise in?
Yeah, I did. But don't do that this time, because you're the one who's going to be doing this.
Do I have the sound?
No.
Do you?
I do, yeah.
But anyway, we're going to crack on now.
All right, guys, welcome back. You're a shit. You really are. You could have just continued that, but now you've created me more work. Thank you very much for that.
Oh, it's easy. It's just a drag and drop.
All right, you can edit this week. So, yeah, welcome along.
Just allow me to do the transfer, and I'll make sure I take the right
one. Yeah, the right one. Okay, yeah, fine. So, yeah, welcome along. Hope you had a nice weekend.
Ask me about my weekend. Ask me what I did.
Let's just say, okay, on what day was it? Friday, you messaged a group.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, oh, guys, you never guess what? Something really exciting just happened.
Not quite how I said it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm going to go to Silverstone on Sunday. So you were actually at the race yesterday.
I was. And if you guys are regular listeners, you'll know that I wanted to purchase tickets, but I mean, it was extortionate to purchase tickets. Like, in my opinion, it wasn't worth that amount of cash.
No.
To buy, like, I would have had to buy off like Viagogo, so it was some snotty little shit just conning me out of loads of money.
Hey, it's good for you though. Very excited. Very excited for you.
So I will explain it.
You didn't invite me, but anyway, we move on.
So Matt is a bit disillusioned in the fact that he thinks that if you get offered something by, because it was a brand, it was New Era. So check them out. They make the caps for McLaren, Red Bull, Alpine. They're also getting next season. Can I announce that? We're going to have to cut that little bit out. Just cut.
Yes, you.
Yeah, cut it out. Just the last team that I mentioned, or bleep it. Yeah, they may or may not be picking up new teams next season. I just don't know if it's public knowledge. I don't want to spill the beans. But yeah, so check them out, because I'm actually wearing New Era socks right now. You knew about New Era before, right?
I've known about them for years. They used to, obviously, NFL caps.
Yeah, so they do the iconic basketball NY cap, no?
Yeah.
So we went to an event there a few months ago where we went to the Red Bull factory, which is a quality day.
It was.
And then, yeah, out of nowhere on Friday, pretty short notice, by the way, because also initially when I got the phone call and he was like, I got a spare ticket, he said it was for Saturday. So, you know, it's very short notice.
Would you have gone if it was a Saturday?
Yeah. I would have. And I was like, yeah, me. Put me on the list. And then he like messaged me like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, it's Sunday. And I was like, sorry? I was like, thank you, that's even better. So it was quality. We were in a pole position. It's like Red Bull hospitality.
I saw your story. Look, solid prime position for
you. You get one guess. Who were we standing next to watching the race?
Celebrity wise, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well known individual. I'll give you a clue. Very well known individual in the world of cars.
Ooh.
That doesn't necessarily mean racing.
In the world of cars.
I feel like this is quite a good clue, because there are not many names I would think of. I'm going to give you a countdown of 5.
I actually don't. Hang on.
That takes out your time.
I honestly don't know.
Richard Hammond.
No way, really?
Yeah, that's pretty sick, isn't it?
I was thinking of racing. When you said...
I
know.
Necessarily a racer.
But then I was thinking outside F1. So I was thinking, was it like rally car or was it like... I wasn't thinking of actually TV series.
Yeah.
That's cool though. Did you have a chat with him?
No. He was just there sipping his champagne. I didn't want to disturb him.
Did you get a bit like, you know... Richard Hammond?
No, not really. Not at all. Like, if I felt it was like appropriate to ask for a photo, or if like he walked past me or something, like I probably would have. But the race was on, and like, yeah, he was like literally right next to us, but in like a little cordoned off bit.
Yeah.
So I just.
I know Clarkson spends a lot of time at the Grand Prix. Was he there?
Yeah, so he was there, but he was. I think he was actually in the paddock.
Was he? He's been out a lot this year.
Yeah, he seems to be getting more into it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But no, it was quality and. I don't know. Obviously, it's Red Bull Hospitality. I'm not sure. I would imagine you can purchase tickets. I'm sure they're way too expensive for...
I mean, you know, like, when we looked at some of the prices, they were like extortionate.
But if you do ever get the opportunity to like get involved in that, that would be sick. But yeah. Generally, just the vibe around was, unreal.
I know we've discussed it previously. What was it like... from footage wise, because obviously we've said we actually like to watch it on TV because you get the actual whole experience.
Yeah, so interesting you say this. We were obviously like, I was on the Hamilton straight, so where the cars start, the starting grid, opposite the pits rather than the paddock, which looks down on the pits.
Yeah. Do you see Brad Pitt?
Did see Brad Pitt here. Their scene, I may be in it, I don't know. It depends how high up that camera goes. But I could be in it.
Would you put that on your CV?
Yes. Yeah, it was literally right in front of us. Like, we look down and they do the walking bit. Where some old geezer comes up to them and I don't know what's happening, but you'll see in the film.
I actually think it's going to... Do you know what? There's a lot of movies out there where they try and do sport, you know, motorsport movies and stuff like that. But I saw the interview between Brad Pitt and Martin Brundle. It actually sounds like a really decent movie.
Yeah, and they're taking it really seriously. Yeah. I mean... They were up against it like massively here, having to do everything in the amount of time that, you know, F1 takes, not the amount of time it takes to actually get a good shot. And but yeah, watching wise, it was actually perfect. We had a huge screen like in front of us, like that was on the paddock, which they have scattered around. Had Crofty on commentary. Loudspeaker.
Oh, really?
So obviously, we'd watch the cars come flying around the final corner, zip off, and then disappear, and then just straight back to the screen.
Just think, if you were there a year ago, you would have got prime view of Zhou.
And through goes Hamilton.
True, yeah. Yeah.
We did get through goes Perez.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Carlos Sainz just decided to take a 5-minute breather, but we will get onto that. But
decent weekend, though.
Yeah, quality. Only thing I would complain about?
Yeah.
A lot of walking.
The buffet.
Oh my God, you don't even know this. I haven't said this. So I didn't actually witness this, but the guy we were with got breakfast there because I turned up a little bit late because I drove up there myself.
Mm.
And he got his breakfast, looked up. Who was cooking? James Martin.
No.
Yeah.
What, your brother?
No, not my brother.
Oh.
You know the chef?
I know the chef, I'm joking.
So, yeah, had an incredible lunch. Set some times on the sim in there. Obviously, I got the best time, naturally. But, quality day. And, getting out of Silverstone, like, in the car. Couldn't actually park there. It was fully booked. And it's £60 to park there for the day. But
Christ.
No available spaces. So I parked in a field, like, a 40-minute walk away. But yeah, it took me like 4 hours to get home, and it's like what, a 2 and a bit hour drive.
2 hour drive, yeah.
So yeah, it was
a long day. What time did you get back?
Like 10:45.
Oh wow, you were really late. Considering the race, what, finished at 5?
Yeah, we stayed for a little bit because Rudimental were playing downstairs.
It was pretty amazing to see how many people stayed after.
Oh, so many people.
Because obviously, I don't know, Lando posted a post about like a. I expect to see you at the fan park afterwards. And I saw some of the footage of that, and I was just like, there's like thousands of people just still staying around. And I suppose you make a weekend of it. And I suppose a lot of people left this morning.
Yeah, there's a lot of events on the Sunday night as well. But like, it was funny because...
Will.i.am was there.
Yeah, they had quite a lot of... Well, Black Eyed Peas were there.
Oh, was it? I only saw Will.i.am. I didn't know if it was Black Eyed Peas. I just saw
a
picture of him.
On the big screens, they like, after the race, they were like, please do not invade the track.
Everyone invades the track.
It's like within 5 minutes, just like thousands of people in front of you. And then like, when everyone sort of started dispersing, or they were kind of hanging around like the paddock.
Yeah.
Like on the Hamilton Straight. And then it like came up on screen saying like, please vacate the area. Like no drivers will be coming here. And then, like 20 minutes later, Lewis just comes up and just climbing up on the fence. Just
yeah, because like... I saw where the post raced with like Jenson Button, they were doing all the Sky footage, and in the back you just see like thousands of fans there. It's cool. I do honestly think, you know, we watch a lot of F1, we watch every race, and there's something about the British Grand Prix, isn't it? It's special.
I think it's the whole thing, like the way. I was speaking to someone and who's sort of saying like, yeah, other races, they don't have this like festival atmosphere. Whereas like in the UK, we've got a really big festival atmosphere, you know, like Glastonbury, Reading and Leeds, Park Life. We've got all these.
Huge, we do it well.
We've got all these huge festivals, which I know they're music festivals, but it's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
So then you have something like Silverstone, which is. It is a festival. You go there, there's so much going on. So I think, yeah, it's just people are in that vibe, whereas I don't think it's like that as much elsewhere.
No. I mean, I see it more at a British Grand Prix than I do anywhere else.
I think also, like, you've got the it's normally always a really good race.
Yeah.
It's a really good track. Like, you can't deny that it's one of the best tracks.
And I mean, the race did get better when we had the safety car. It definitely made it more interesting, but we'll get onto that in a bit.
Yeah.
But, no, it's decent. You know, I saw some of the, obviously, posts. It looked a decent day. Nice view. I don't think you could get a better view than that, could you?
No, definitely not.
Literally just on the straight. I saw a lot of people post who were staying in the Hilton, and literally they just go out on their balcony.
Yeah, so...
Which is mad.
Those people were literally just above us. Yeah. We were in the Hilton Hotel. So, like, yeah, I looked up. And it's just, you know, I dread to think how much those hotel rooms cost.
No, I can imagine they're expensive. But decent. Well, I'm glad you had a nice weekend. Nice weekend. Should we get on talking about some F1 news?
So do you want to talk about your weekend? Or?
Not as exciting as that. Oh. But I went to look at a new car.
Why?
Well, I'm just upgrading mine.
Money. This man has money.
No. Went... paddleboarding, got the paddleboard out, got that obviously last week, went out in Cookmere a couple of days for though, that was good. What else did I do? I just watched the F1 yesterday, just chilled, nice and chilled weekend.
Nice. It had the weather for a nice chilled weekend.
It wasn't great weather, it's pretty horrible at times. Very
bloody hot yesterday, up at Silverstone it was like...
In Silverstone it was raining here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because apparently it was raining in Brackley, I got a few drops on me. I text saying it's raining here.
Yeah.
Because it literally just before the race was about to start. I think it was like, there was like 3 minutes to the formation lap. And drops were coming down.
But they're saying it's like 8 miles away. I know you had rain where you were, but the proper chunk of the rain was about 8 miles away from the circuit.
Yeah, it was in Brackley.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it was raining here on the day because I was just like, what's going on here? Like, all weekend it was just pretty rubbish. But anyway... enough about the weather. Let's talk about F1. Let's talk about a bit of news before we get started. So, in our chat today, I don't know how true this is, but there is reports, and we've been discussing this for a while, haven't we, that Daniel Ricciardo is set to replace Nyck de Vries after the summer break. We've obviously discussed this. We know, obviously, Daniel Ricciardo wants to get back into F1. I mean, is that the right move for AlphaTauri? Nyck de Vries, to be fair to him, has been poor. I think he's been... granted, the car's not great, but his performances haven't been great.
Yeah, I agree. But that car really hasn't been great.
No. But when you look at the likes of Tsunoda, he's got as much out of it as he can. Nyck de Vries, a lot of the racing you're seeing, he's making very rookie errors. And I know he is a rookie. Well, we say he's a rookie. He's been around, he's what, 28, 29 years old now?
He's been around the block.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard. I mean, he finished dead last yesterday. But the person in front of him was his teammate. So, you know, the AlphaTauri's finished last. It's just, I appreciate decisions need to be made, but I do think it's really hard to judge a driver in what is arguably the worst car on the grid, that AlphaTauri.
At this moment in time, yeah. Especially with how well Williams are doing.
Yeah, that. I mean, Alex Albon is driving the wheels off that car.
Yeah.
Let's not take credit away from him. But
take nothing away from Sargeant, P11.
Sargeant had a good race.
Yeah.
But yeah, that Williams looked really good this weekend. So I do expect over the coming years, big things from them.
Yeah.
I do, you know, I'm not expecting them to get up to Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari level, maybe throw McLaren in that mix now. But I'm expecting them to become a solid midfield team.
Well, I think when you look at, you know, Albon, I don't know if you saw the interview, James Vowles was being interviewed post-race, and he was very proud of the team, of where they're going, the right direction. Alex Albon then came in and they were discussing, and he got asked the question, what has James Vowles done to the team and how do you see it's going? And he was very much like, you know, he only came in January, February time. It's very hard for him to make, major changes because we're only a couple months away from the season starting. But he said the little changes he makes, you're already starting to see massive differences. So he said in a year's time, 2 years' time, this Williams team will be completely different.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're P7 in the constructors at the moment. Considering last...
You mean Alex Albon is P7 in the
Alex Albon. They're a team, okay?
Albon did the homework. Sargeant has put his name on it.
Granted. But it was promising. We're starting to see better performances from Sargeant. To finish P11 yesterday, ahead of those AlphaTauri's, Alfa Romeos, you know, I think he's getting there. We're starting to see a bit of promise there.
I think, you know, what you say about James Vowles at the team, I don't know if you saw they did some, like, factory day where fans were there and he was answering questions. And he was basically saying, like, you know, over the next... It might be a bit rough for the car for the next coming years because there's going to be a lot of investment into infrastructure. That's where they're focusing at the moment because they know that once they get the appropriate infrastructure, then they'll be able to build the appropriate car.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I think, you know, I don't think they're going to set the world alight anytime soon, but I think they're a team that look like they're on the right path. And I think that's a good thing.
And I think that's very promising for any driver who will go there in the future, any sponsors, anything like that, to see the team on the right, you know, progression is brilliant.
Let's not forget, it was only like 5 or 6 years ago that they're actually like a good midfield team. That you would have, you know, Massa was racing for them.
Yeah.
Bottas was doing well for them before he went to Mercedes. It was a team that is very different to how they're viewed now.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. So a lot of new fans would have come in and just thought, oh my God, what, this Williams team are a joke.
No, but
it's like, they're a serious team, but they have got it wrong over the past few years.
And I'm excited to see where they go. Albon, loveliest guy. Like, I don't know, I'm a big fan of Albon. And maybe I wasn't a few years ago when...
I'm surprised he doesn't have more British support. You know, like...
Yeah.
I know he races under the Thai flag, but... You know, he's English as well. Do you know what I mean? So, like, that's not me, like, saying I have a problem with him racing under the Thai flag. I'm just surprised he doesn't get as supported as the, air quotes, British boys do.
Yeah.
At the Grand Prix. Because, yeah, always comes across really well. He's a really good driver. He's racing for a British team. So, yeah, I think, you know... I'm not going to say he's one to watch out for because he's a well-established driver now. And, you know, he's clearly had it in him for a long time because he got given the seat at Red Bull.
Yeah.
Okay, it didn't work out, but we know...
I wonder if they... look back and go they're a bit premature in that decision. But I think it's very hard because obviously if they still kept Albon, would Albon have done what Perez did in that 21 season?
That's the thing.
It's difficult.
I don't think it was premature. I think it was right. I think, look, you cannot name many drivers who at such a young age with no experience have gone into a top team and done well.
I mean, when you look at it, what, Lewis? Obviously, he went to McLaren, his first one.
Lewis. Max, obviously, Max, I know he did Toro Rosso. Seb.
Yeah, again, Toro Rosso, they went. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's quite hard to...
Because even, and I don't... I mean, to be fair, this is a bit different. I mean, Michael Schumacher went to, obviously, Benetton. But they weren't a competing team at the time.
No, but before Benetton, he was at...
I was not alive at this point.
I want to say Jordan, but I might be completely wrong. Am I completely wrong?
The point is it does take a special kind of driver, and that's not. I'm not saying Alex Albon isn't special because I think he's really good, but
smashed it.
Was it
Jordan? Then he went to Benetton, Ferrari, and Mercedes.
Yeah,
absolutely smashed
it. This is absolutely not to discredit Albon. This is actually. You know, he's not on the level of, you know, a Schumacher, a Lewis, a Max. And that's not an insult because very few people are. But what I'm saying is he's a driver that went through the struggle and has come back and is now smashing it. And now I think he's deserving.
He's a better driver for
one of the top teams. Yeah. Everyone has a different journey. And yeah, fair play, because he could have absolutely crumbled. That was brutal. You know, that's his big break. He's got the Red Bull seat. He's so young.
And then he's like, bye.
What was it, like a season and a half he had? Was it even that long?
I don't think it was even that.
And then kicked out. So, you know, I know how I would have dealt with that at, I mean, what would it have been, 21, 22, something ridiculous. I wouldn't have dealt with it like how he dealt with it, basically. No,
it's decent. It is decent. Talking about other news, so what do you think? Danny, I know we've completely gone off on topic, but Danny Ric to AlphaTauri, good move.
I think it probably makes sense at this point because you can't get worse. That's me being as respectful as I can. It cannot get worse at the moment than Nyck de Vries. You know, you can go backwards, that's fine, because you can go as far back as you like from the back, you're still at the back. So you might as well utilize the fact that you've got Danny Ricciardo, an experienced driver, once a very sought after driver. Everyone had high hopes. You've got him on the team already. Put him in the car.
Me personally, I just think they should stick with Nyck de Vries to the end of the season. Look, they're not going to get any better at this moment in time.
No, yeah, which I agree. You can look at it from both sides.
I think this guy has done all this work to get to F1. It's very late in his career getting into F1. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a massive fan. I said this at the beginning of the season. I wasn't so sure how well he would do. But I think he deserves a season. I think it's very harsh taking it away after half a season. I think, you know, unless there's something behind not only race, but what they see in the sim, that he's really underperforming, okay, I get it. But he's someone who is his first proper break and he's been taken away after 6 months. If he gets taken away, there's no way back in the sport for him.
No, there's not. But I guess the issue is you're at the highest level here. This is not, you're not playing in Sunday League anymore.
But we know he can do it. Look what he did last year in that Williams.
Now, I actually read something quite interesting on this. The Williams, in a straight line, is a very hard car to overtake. What is Monza?
Long straights.
Long straights, very high speed track. The Williams is not bad there.
No, true. Valid point.
So, yes, he did well. I'm not discrediting that, but it was kind of like, well, you know, if you're going to do it in any car, that's probably one of the cars. Would he have pulled out that performance in the AlphaTauri?
I don't know. Hindsight's a beautiful thing, but I just think he deserves a season. you know, for anyone who takes that long to get into sport, I think you deserve a season. But obviously, I know Helmut Marko is not a patient man, is he?
Very, very honest, too honest in the press for my liking.
That's the one thing I don't always like, is the brutality of sometimes. You know, these people, they're still individuals at the end of the day.
That's the thing. Sometimes Red Bull play on this family thing. And I think you see it, you know, when we went to the factory and you see all the guys working together, and Red Bull have got all this PR stuff, like, down to an absolute T. But they talk about this family thing, and then you've got Helmut Marko saying stuff like this in the public. Mm. I think that's, if you are a family, it's not really what you do to people, is it? Like, you don't hang them out to dry.
Well, I think it's always tough. I think if you're trying to get someone's build someone's confidence, and, you know, even if you know that they're not going to get any better, the last thing you want to do is make it worse, put more and more pressure on them.
Yeah, don't air your dirty laundry. Like, just keep it internal, and then just be like, you know, you don't even have to come on, you know, come into the press and be like, whoa, why are you asking that question? He's doing amazing. We're not saying lie.
No.
But just maybe be a little bit like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're working on it really hard in The Sims.
But Alex Albon is a prime example of that. Look how much pressure that guy had on him.
Yeah.
Take that pressure away, they start to thrive.
Yeah, that's the thing. And maybe that is Red Bull a toxic team to go into because of the pressure.
Yeah, I don't know. And I think, you know, perhaps it is. Perhaps there is too much pressure. And I don't know. I don't know. It'd be interesting. Let us know what your thoughts are. Danny Rick to AlphaTauri. Do you want to see it? Do you not? Let us know. Other news, because there is a lot to talk about. So, Hannah Waddenham. Waddenham? Waddenham.
Waddingham.
Did I say that? Waddenham.
Name drop. She was in pole position with us.
Was she? Did you talk to her?
Until, like, everyone went out on the grid. No. But I do love Ted Lasso, so.
So, she was spoken to yesterday on, I think it was Channel 4 by David Coulthard. And she was asked about, you know, her experience in F1 and all of this stuff. So, she said, I've been binge watching, David Coulthard said, I've been binge watching you. You've been making appearances everywhere, in remarks to Ted Lasso, Coulthard said. She responded, have you? I know many people must be sick of the sight of me. I do apologise. She then continued saying, I've waited a long time to be here, and I'm allowed to say that I'm very much looking forward to seeing Lewis Hamilton, 8-time champion. David Coulthard,
well,
then
not wrong, is she?
No. David Coulthard then said, you can say whatever you want. I don't think many people would disagree with that. He's a legend of the sport. And then she finished off by going, he's just phenomenal. So, yeah, I like it. I like it.
He is an 8-time world champion. Let's be real here.
Or anyone, whatever anyone says, he is an 8-time world champion. Yeah. So, Martin Brundle, Cara Delevingne. I know we're not talking about, like, you know, hot gossip news or whatever, but it was quite interesting, the grid walk yesterday. And you actually have quite a bit to say about this, surprisingly enough. Just to put it into context, okay, for people who don't know. So yesterday, as you know, Martin Brundle goes around and he does his grid walk. He talks to celebrities. He had that incident last year in America when Megan Thee Stallion, was it?
Yeah.
Wasn't allowed to speak. The security guard got all, like, you know, defensive, all of that stuff. Anyway, rules are in place now that actually every celebrity has to speak to any press that is on there, which I think is actually fair. If you're in that position that you're lucky enough to be on the grid, then...
Well, because they're not paparazzi.
No.
No, they're there for the race.
Yeah.
They're creating a bit of TV.
So he then said, Martin Brundle was like, oh no, I hear Cara Delevingne's here, so I'm going to go and talk to her. Someone from Alfa Romeo said, no, she doesn't want to talk. And he was like, well,
no,
everyone.
I don't think he was from Alfa Romeo. I think that he was just wearing an Alfa Romeo.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think he was with her.
He looked like a proper, like, Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, no, I think it
dude.
Was like her manager or something.
Oh, really? Oh, anyway, ignore that. He's not from Alfa Romeo. He then said, no, you know, she's not for discussion, or then she's not going to have a discussion. Martin Brundle then goes, well, everyone has to talk because they're on the grid. That's what the new rules are. And actually, Martin Brundle is completely right. And this is why we like the grid walk, because we get to see celebrities on there. She then said, no, Oh no, sorry, no, I can't hear. I've gone deaf and all of this stuff. Trying to make every excuse possible not to talk to him.
It was rude.
It was rude. Where moments before, Liam Payne, I don't know if you saw that one, really interactive.
He was in pole position as well.
Was he? Really interactive with him, like really nice interview. Like it was nice to see. Even Pep Guardiola, he looked a bit like worried initially, but then he got into it, had a nice conversation with Martin Brundle. It was nice. And that's what fans want to see. But Cara Delevingne, you can have your say now.
Yeah, so my issue with it is it's just like, oh, you know, like, I'm so big time, I've been invited to the Grand Prix. I'm standing out here, like, I'm so much better than everyone. I'm not going to speak to you. I just don't like it. And what I've seen, like, a lot of people, and this to me is, like, a really fucked up way to look at it. A lot of people have been drawing, like, seeing it as synonymous to, like, you know, oh, men still don't understand that no means no. This is literally nothing to do with that. Some people always find a way to make things cynical. This is about common courtesy and respect for the establishment that has invited you to an event that they're putting on. This is, you know, I do not give a fuck who it is that says no. It's rude the way that was. Whoever said that, it, like, Steven Gerrard, my footballing hero, if he was on the grid and he said something like that, I'd be like, what are you doing? That's just like, makes you look like a knobhead. It's okay, granted, like, no one is absolutely entitled to speak, but it is part of the rules, it is part of the event.
Well, like, that's why they put everything in place to go, look, okay, we had that issue last year. Going forward, anyone who goes on the grid, you will be asked questions by the, you know, the press, and it is part of the luxury as such of being able to go onto the grid that you will be asked questions.
And, like, you know, it's to then be like, I can't hear. Like, I don't know, it's just so rude. I didn't like it. It's not like, because I think, oh, you know, Martin Brundle has the divine right to interview anyone he wants. It's just like a basic human interaction to a few questions. Like, who are you here supporting today? Oh, answer. And then, like, you know, you can dead a conversation pretty easily, you know, but I think that was just rude. And then the people on Twitter, like, you know, I don't think people should be going on Twitter and slating Cara Delevingne or commenting on her post hating her, because
no.
I mean, that makes you just as bad as that interaction, probably worse, to be honest. You know, she wasn't insulting anyone or trying to target anyone to be horrible, but to see people, like, online draw these comparisons to, like, things that are just not even comparable, I did find it really weird. And I think people get so defensive about weird things online. It's just like, we can accept that, like, she looked like a bit of a knob the way she acted, because it was very like, I'm too good for this.
Well, I think you look at it from both angles. Okay, so she's saying that she got told by her management not to speak to anyone. Whether that's true or not, then you would blame the manager. If that was the case, you'd be like, hang on, well, you, how can you not just do that? If that's not true, then actually it is just plain rude. I don't like this whole thing of you have to go through bodyguards to...
Apparently they're meant to be banned from the track anyway.
Are they?
Entourages, yeah.
So I don't know who are these people then. Because that's the bit I find uncomfortable when I'm watching it. It's like, you know, it's like he's having to go, oh, can I get... And then they're like, no. And it's just like, this is just awkward. Like, it's live TV and it's just...
Yeah, and like, you just think, like, who the fuck are you? Like, you could just not be here and no one would give a shit, you know? And there's no disrespect to Cara Delevingne. Like I say, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't give a fuck really who's on the track. But, you know, Martin Brundle has, what, like 10, 15 minutes to go around talking to different people.
Who was that? Who was that lady who was waving the flag at the end?
Oh, what, as in the checkered flag?
Yeah, the actor.
I actually have no idea who it was.
She was interviewed. She was brilliant. I can't remember. Keep talking, I just...
And it, well, here's the thing also, right? If you're like... Surely, if you're a fan of the F1 and you're there to watch it, you know who Martin Brundle is. No, you would have seen the grid walk. So, you know, I think it's something that we'll probably forget about pretty quick. And like I say, if you're going online and abusing Cara Delevingne, then you've got a sad little existence.
Yeah, 100%.
But that doesn't, you know, we're sitting here right now giving our opinions, not slating her personally. I just think she came across very rude in that interview, or attempted interview. And I don't think there's any need to draw baseless comparisons to actual issues, if you know what I mean.
Well, I can't find her.
I did see her because I saw her waving the flag and I thought, who the fuck is that?
I know, she was great.
The national anthem.
Oh, Florence Pugh. Florence Pugh?
Is that from Florence and the Machine?
Maybe? No, I don't think so. I don't know. She's an actress, apparently.
Did you hear the national anthem?
Damien Lewis.
What on earth was that?
I was a bit shocked when
I was shocked when I saw a saxophone, first and foremost. I said, what the fuck is that, a saxophone? And someone turned around and said, that is a very British reaction.
I mean, it's something different, isn't it? You can't hate Damien Lewis. Whatever you say, I'm a massive fan of Billions. I thought he was brilliant in it. Like,
this is not a personal attack on the man, but that it was dreadful. It is not personal. You know, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. Probably does a lot for charity as well. You know, he's got the money, but it was a shocker. It was a stinker, I'm not going to lie.
It wasn't the best, you know. But it made something different, didn't it? Something different.
No, like, just make it good. Honestly, next time. Firstly, is he a singer?
He is now.
He's not.
He's put that on his CV today.
If he was a singer, he's not anymore.
He sung at Silverstone, regardless. There's a lot of terrible singers out there who don't even get to do that, so that's on his CV.
And secondly, is singing along to just a saxophone a thing?
Yep.
And then what?
Trendsetter.
He was ad-libbing, like, yeah, the national anthem.
There's a lot of passion in it, wasn't it?
It was like, he like came out and he's like, I'm going to make this one my own.
They interviewed him after, and he was like, oh, I've been, he said, for the last 2 weeks, no one can mention Queen to me, the word Queen.
Because we're so just used to saying,
Queen. Yeah. He said, you know, it was like King everything. Like, literally, that's all he could talk about for the last 2 weeks. It was all right. It wasn't the greatest, but something different.
It was a shocker. Let's be honest here.
It wasn't the best.
He's not going to come knocking at the door. If he is.
Well,
he's not going to hear this anyway, but...
Just in case he goes back to Billions. Sorry, spoiler there, if you do watch Billions and you're currently watching that. If he does go back, I want like a little, like, you know, part in it.
Hopefully we just...
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, it's good. It's decent.
I don't really watch TV. But,
Shall we... I literally feel like we've talked nothing racing today.
But we can talk about the race now.
Well, let's
that
talk...
looks like we can sort of segment.
Yeah, let's talk a bit about qualifying. So Sergio Perez.
Is that fifth time this season that he's been out in Q3?
Fifth time. And let's put this into comparison, okay.
Or not made it to Q1, one or the other.
Yeah. He hasn't made Q1 for the last five races.
Yeah, that's it.
So let's put this into comparison. Valtteri Bottas in the Mercedes, for his whole time he was at Mercedes.
103 races.
He finished in Q1. Okay. Was never outside Q1. Sergio Perez hasn't been in Q1 for the last five races. And arguably in the best car we've seen.
Well, yeah, I don't think we can argue that.
So this guy is definitely under pressure. He didn't perform great in the race.
Well, he got P5.
Again, like we touch on every time, this car is a rocket ship.
Max would have won that race starting from...
He would have won that race if he was started P19.
Yeah.
That car is a rocket ship. Regardless of what anyone says, that car is on a different level to any other car on that grid. McLarens did well yesterday, granted, but they weren't in comparison to this Red Bull. So, Sergio Perez not making Q1 for five races in a row is really, one, quite embarrassing for Red Bull, considering this level of this car.
Frustrating.
But if you're Sergio Perez, you're under a lot of pressure here. A lot of pressure.
I genuinely think he's at risk this summer.
I don't think they would... To be fair, if you're Red Bull, okay, you know that... I found a stat yesterday. So For Max Verstappen to lose, he can win the title, right?
If he finishes second every single race.
If he finishes second every single race. And if Sergio Perez won every race, picked up, won all the sprint races, and fastest lap, all Max Verstappen has to do until the end of the season is finish P2.
Yeah. So
mental.
You know, it's over already. So it's just a shame because...
It's a P2 world championship, isn't it?
Yeah, which, to be honest, P2 is heating up.
It is. But why are we excited about bloody P2? This is what's annoying me, okay? And this is what really frustrates me. And I see it on like social media a lot. Oh, just think of the battles between P2 and 3. Why are people getting excited about this? At the end of the day, surely a world championship is about a battle between numerous cars fighting for P1. No one remembers who finished P2.
No, it's true. It's true, I agree.
And I know some people will go, oh, you're just sounding bitter because you probably want Lewis Hamilton to win. Granted, yes. But I want a championship battle. I want to watch a race each week going, oh, do you know what?
I wonder who's going to win this.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Which I do say that every race, but sarcastically, no.
Yeah. I never really, don't get me wrong, I never really enjoyed it when Lewis did it in Mercedes. Granted, I'm happy because Lewis won. Yes, fine. I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan.
It's more palatable when it's your own man.
It is. But I don't like the dominance of just one team. That's why, and I know we've touched on it numerous times, the 21 season was beautiful. It was a great battle all throughout. And it wasn't just a team about two drivers. It was their teammates helping them battle as well. It was phenomenal.
Perez helped.
Perez, yeah. And Bottas was just
Bottas
there.
Defended, not a lot.
It's really frustrating knowing that every race we're going to at the moment, Max Verstappen is going to win. And you're starting to see in his press conferences, he's just getting cockier and cockier.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for him. I've actually got an interesting stat that I've pulled up on...
Sorry for my rant. I know you'll probably slate me now and go... Oh.
Regarding the domination of cars over previous years, yep. Right? From 2014 to 2023, right?
Yep.
After round 10, which do you think has the furthest gap from first place to second place in the Drivers' Championship points-wise?
Okay.
So, 2023, how many points do you reckon there is between first and second? Well, I guess you know.
So then, it's like 80 or something.
We'll start the other way. In 2014, at this point, right?
Yeah.
We had the dominant Mercedes.
Yep.
New regulation era. They had nailed it. A second a lap quicker in Bahrain or something, weren't they? It was ridiculous. After 10 races, what was the difference between Rosberg and Hamilton?
60 points.
14 points.
Really?
Rosberg was in front by 14 points.
Okay.
2015...
22 points.
21. Hamilton was in front, 21 points. 2016.
That's the year where Rosberg won it, wasn't it? And that was close between them two. I'd probably say 8 points.
1 point.
No,
Rosberg
really?
Was out in front by 1 point.
Christ.
This is where it gets a bit interesting, because I think a lot of people forget about this time.
Yeah.
2017.
5 points.
1 point. Seb was ahead by 1 point. 1 point ahead of Lewis Hamilton. So this dominant Mercedes that was ruining F1 was actually second place to a Ferrari. And you think the Mercedes carried on? 2018?
4 points.
Who was in front?
Lewis.
Seb was in front by 8 points.
No, really?
This is what I mean. Even then you move into 2019, Lewis is in front, yeah, but Bottas is only 39 points behind. The championship is still on at this point.
That's a race in a bit, isn't it?
2020, Lewis is ahead 44 points. You know, that's getting a bit further away. But it's still doable. 2021, we obviously had Max ahead at this point, 8 points ahead of Lewis.
Yeah.
2022, okay, we're in the new era now. Max is 34 points ahead of Perez. It's still not done and dusted at this point. You know, it's a little bit more exciting.
The different, yes, granted, but Red Bull had a lot of reliability issues in the first half of the year.
Yeah.
If they didn't have those, I don't think, and obviously Ferrari are a bit more dominant.
That is true.
If you take those out of the equation.
2023, Max Verstappen is 99 points ahead of Sergio Perez.
I mean.
So it's, you know, you can talk about Mercedes dominance.
Can you send me that?
Yeah. Realistically, we had Mercedes dominance for 4 years across 8 years, right? So 50% of the time we had Mercedes dominance. Now, for two of those years, you had Lewis and Rosberg fighting each... of those years, you had Lewis and Rosberg fighting each other to the death, right? It was mean. Like, it got very nasty between the two of them. There's intense races. There was speculation that things was going on, like, behind the scenes. Like, they switched mechanics and everything. Then things started going wrong with Lewis's car and stuff like that. Okay, so then Rosberg finally wins the title after, in his third season of battling Lewis. We then, well, I think it was actually his fourth season, wasn't it? But
yeah, fourth.
Third being competitive. We move into 2017. Now Seb's going head-to-head in the Ferrari with a Mercedes. And then the next year, we've still got that again. And then, okay, we've got another two boring years where Lewis is just, you know, dominating. And then we get 2021. It's like, you know, that was a proper championship as well. But it's still intense.
To me,
the whole way
greatest
through.
Championship ever.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
And I know a lot of people go, oh, they didn't like the actual... the rough side of the team principles. A lot of people, as far as I'm concerned, you had everything in that season.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
And then you move to 2022, 2023 in particular. Holy shit, it was bad. It is bad. Doesn't matter what you say. It's not about Max winning. Look, put Max in... And I know this sounds bad. It's like, well, give him a worse car. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, imagine he's in a car that is equivalent to the Mercedes, Ferrari, the McLaren now, you could argue. Think how good that championship would be.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, my God.
Can I just say, okay...
The Aston Martin as well.
I know we're saying this. I take nothing away from Max Verstappen because he has been given this car and he's doing it to the full... full potential. I think he's probably just going at 75%.
Yeah.
But fair play to him and fair play to Red Bull. And we're not saying it because... We're Lewis fans. What we say this simply because what we want as F1 fans, and with these new regulations coming in, and it's really interesting hearing all of that stuff because everyone thinks that it was just a dominance. It's always the second half of the season where you start to see the Mercedes get better, and that's where the Ferraris fell off. And
their development was their thing.
Exactly. Yeah, but we're in a position now, like you say, 99 points. That is mental. We haven't even reached a summer break yet, and this title could be wrapped up. God knows. I think
it's genuinely going to be the like earliest title.
Yeah, but
or victory ever. Like,
and fair play to Max. Fair play to Red Bull. They've got these new regulations spot on. Fair play to them. But from a fan point of view, it's really disheartening when we had such a good championship battle. We've now changed everything to make it more equal, and if anything, we've got a more dominant car than we've ever had before.
Which I actually do just want to point out, the regulations have worked a treat, by the way.
You got closer racing across the board, granted.
And like, take that Red Bull out of there.
Oh, it'd be an interesting...
It'd be incredible.
But it's like anything, isn't it?
But it would be much better than... It would be much better than all previous years. Other than maybe 2021, but that was... A lot of it was because of the friction, the soap opera drama that we had with it. The regulations have worked.
Red Bull
have made them work too well for themselves.
And now you've got, I mean, if you're having a bit of Red Bull, Aston Martin, Mercedes, McLaren, it'd be great. But each week, all you know is it's going to be a Red Bull win.
Yeah.
So it's and cool. It's just, it is what it is.
Which
it's very hard to get excited for a race when you know it's going to be so dominant.
A Red Bull win is obviously what we got. This weekend.
Another one. So let's just quickly touch on qualifying. So as we know, Sergio Perez went out in Q3. Bit of a surprise there. heading into Q2, the likes of Aston Martin, Lance Stroll again had a bit of a shocker weekend.
Surprise.
Logan Sargeant got into Q2. Very good for him.
Surprise.
Ocon, Alpine's really struggled this weekend.
Yeah.
They were P10 and P13 in qualifying. And then you head into qualifying and into Q1, sorry. And I have to say, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, phenomenal. Phenomenal drive.
Yeah, great drive. But what the hell have McLaren done to their car? How have Mercedes been developing this car all season?
Yeah.
Realistically, you could argue last season as well.
Yeah.
I know it's a different concept. McLaren were arguably one of the worst cars this season.
Oh, they had a shocker. Do you remember Bahrain? Like, didn't Lando Norris pit like 8 times?
One upgrade package. And they're fighting the Red Bull.
Well, the main one is their aero. And that's where they've really heavily developed on is their aerodynamics.
Yeah, so why are Mercedes not doing that?
I don't know.
Why can Mercedes not
but
do it?
I did tell you, didn't I? I did warn you. You were so giddy last week about the fact of these McLaren upgrades.
Mercedes upgrades.
You were so like excited about it. And they turn up with a new front wing.
Yeah, but you know what? It wasn't rumours. I didn't read rumours.
No.
Toto said, we are bringing
but
a new floor.
Did you learn
new
nothing?
Side pods,
did you learn nothing
new
last
engine
year?
Cover.
Did you learn nothing last year?
Yeah,
you, every time last
that,
year.
I was reading rumours.
Does that work here?
No. I was reading rumours last year. That like this came from Toto. So when we turn up with, which by the way, bringing a completely revised front wing that has never been like used before. It's not like bringing a reduced drag rear wing or a high downforce, like, you know, a high load rear wing to give you more downforce on the track. How is this new front wing, which looks completely different, by the way, compared to the two?
Yeah.
How is that going to fit in with the car? And they were complaining about the balance all weekend. Obviously.
Just put the old one on.
Because you've just put, like, that's like me crashing my car, an Audi, and going out and getting, like, a Volkswagen front bumper to fix onto it. It's just not made for it.
No.
So I'm not saying that this front wing is bad by any means, but I'm saying like, surely you need to, if you are bringing a new floor, new side pods, new engine cover, in theory, this new front wing is made for that.
Yeah.
So now you're just sticking it on a car that it's not made for.
Well, it's interesting, wasn't it? Because obviously qualifying at the end of round one in Q1, Lewis was what, second at that time, and I was thinking, okay, this looks all right.
Yeah, the track ramped up,
definitely ramped up. And Mercedes had a bit of a shocker in their second run, finishing P6, P7, George ahead of Lewis. Ferrari's actually did very well, got P4, P5. They've kind of turned it around, but then again, their race strategy was just questionable once again. Yeah,
they got unlucky with safety as well.
They got unlucky with safety. But we'll touch on it in a second. But why would you bring Leclerc in, who's on the mediums, on like lap 14,
yeah,
15,
they
whatever?
So early.
I don't get it. You know, you put him onto hards. It's like the mediums, which is meant to be the ones which could last you to about lap 21, 22.
I think they started to see their deg issues again because the Mercedes had the race pace on them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just seemed a bit of a bizarre. Again, questionable. However, Lando Norris went through at P1. And the stands erupt.
The crowd
erupted.
Mental.
Next thing you know, the only person who's going to come and ruin that party was his good mate, Max Verstappen. Came round, took P1. And Piastri, phenomenal. Phenomenal from him as well.
Yeah,
he's really starting to...
He was unlucky to miss out on that podium.
And, did you see George? He's like, yeah, he was unlucky to get it. So
yeah, he said, oh yeah, you know, he deserved a podium today. Bit weird, like, yeah. I mean, support your teammate, but I mean, it's true, you know, I'm a Lewis fan, but at the end of the day, right, strategy plays into it. It's not just a one-man thing.
He made the right calls.
And Lewis extended his stint banking on the fact a safety car would come out, and, you know, sometimes that doesn't happen, but he got lucky and it did.
So before the race, we were discussing in our group chat, and you went to me, oh, God, you know, you're a bit negative, all of that stuff. Because I basically said what will happen is Max will drive off, Lando will probably hold up the bunch. Yeah, actually, fair play to him, he didn't. But
he didn't,
I did.
He pulled away.
He did.
It's not hard to predict that Max is going to run away. I think what I've started doing is just excluding Max from the race. So, like, generally, the races have been all right if you just forget about that.
What, the P1 part?
Yeah, just forget about it.
So, Lando Norris. I still think there were some chats beforehand. You know, obviously, Max Verstappen and Lando Norris are very good friends. What do you think of the night before? You know, Max gets a phone call from Lando and going, look, okay, this is my home race. Let me overtake you. Have a bit of a bad start. You're going to win anyway. You've got a fast car. Let me overtake you. I'll lead a few laps. Crowd will love it. And then when you come to overtake me, I'll just move out of the way and let you past.
I think you live in fairyland.
I am joking before any Red Bull fans get a bit triggered there. Lando
got an unbelievable launch.
He got a phenomenal launch.
But so did Piastri. So maybe Max just got a bad launch. Piastri was up alongside him.
Piastri. So Lando, fantastic start. And again, you're obviously there. The crowd sounded like it just erupted.
Yeah, it did. Like, it just went mental. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that was... that was cool. And then, Lewis lost places. He went off.
He went wide, didn't he? Got down to P9.
Yeah. he worked his way up. George gained a place.
It was weird, wasn't it? Because George started on the softs. And I was thinking to myself, and there was a lot of talk that they were only going to really last about 9-10 laps. He ended up doing the first stint on up to 30 laps on those, 29 laps.
Yeah, I think everything was lasting a lot longer than they thought, basically.
Tyres... It's interesting, wasn't it? Because in the past, you kind of knew what tyres were like. You know, if you're on the hards, they will last you this long. You're on the mediums, if you're on the softs.
It was new tyres, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's so unpredictable, wasn't it, this weekend? These going out and doing 30 laps, 29 laps on the softs is unheard of.
Yeah.
Can you remember a last track where you've done 29 laps?
And especially Silverstone, there's quite a high load on those tyres.
Can you think of another race where they've done that many laps on softs?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, that's quite a niche stat to know,
well,
isn't it?
You're a bit of a geek. I thought you might know. But no, phenomenal start by Lando. And he actually... He
pulled away, to
He
be
pulled
honest.
Away. He looked good.
He got DRS for a bit.
Yeah, he looked good.
It was before DRS was open, obviously.
Piastri really challenged Max as well.
Do you know what the most impressive thing was? Is that the McLarens actually stayed kind of with Max. Max didn't pull off like he has been in different tracks. If there was not a safety car, there's no way Max would have been able to build up enough of a gap to pit, basically.
No.
Excluding the fact that Silverstone has a very long pit. Say it was just a regular, you lose 20 seconds, he still wouldn't have been able to.
Interestingly, on the radio, Max was complaining a lot about the wind, struggling.
It was a strong breeze there.
Yeah. So he said he was struggling. It's very hard to... It's very difficult, isn't it, when... You discuss about whether you catch up with Max or you hold, you actually gain and whatever, because we know that Red Bull is not running at 100% capacity.
We say that, but Checo.
Okay, he was running at 100% capacity, but this Max Verstappen, okay.
Max has taken it easy.
He's taken it easy.
I think we saw that. To be honest, I do think Max just backed off and waited for DRS to open. I think he just thought, like, once I've got DRS, I know I'll be able to get him instantly. What's the point in killing the tyres early on? What's the point in risking a crash by taking some higher risk overtaking manoeuvre? Let's just wait. I'll just get DRS and I'll smoke him down the straight, which... He absolutely did.
We discussed, didn't we? Because obviously Lando couldn't really do much against Max. He was just kind of letting past. He knew the fight wasn't with him.
What the boys were saying in the chat is essentially, fuck me, Lando's fighting for his life against Lewis, but he just opens the door for Max. Now, I get how it's frustrating to watch, but you have to take into consideration, right? Think of it this way. If Mike Tyson comes up to you and, like, is trying to fight you, you'll try and do everything to just defuse the situation and get out of the way. Someone else comes up to you and is starting on you, and you'll be like, I could probably have them. And they won't see you.
I'd still run.
Yeah, you would. But do you get what I'm trying to say?
I get your point. Max,
Lando knew that he couldn't put up a fight against Max. So what's the point in harming his race? So
what's the point of racing? Like you're racing the whole. This is what Clarkson said, isn't it? Do you remember his thing he did in Bahrain? Yeah. He said, "I want to see cars ramped up to the thing, and I want to see them race. I want to see them challenge." I am not stupid enough to know the fact that actually you have to play it smart. You conserve your tires. You need to know how to learn your battles. But at the end of the day, it's racing. I know it's tactical, and I get that. And your tactical is about your pit stops and that. But I want to see battles. You know,
yeah, which we did then get with Lewis and Lando when Lando knew that he was able to compete against the Mercedes. I think that's all. If that Red Bull is so quick, what is the point in harming your race?
Yeah, I get it. I understand it. I get it. It's just, I don't know. I want to see whoever you are on the grid. I want to see you battle for it. I want to see you put up a bit of a fight. You know, like Alonso Lewis. Okay, do you remember that time? Was it in Budapest last year? Okay. Alonso completely just opened the door for Max and just let him pass. Lewis comes up. Oh no, it was in the 21 season, wasn't it?
It was 21.
And it was like he was battling. You know, it's like. Come on now. Like,
yeah, I also think people have that thing against Lewis if they want to prove themselves against him.
Yeah, I suppose this will come in time with Max. Max falls off for whatever point, I think but I don't know. And I know you're probably a lot of you will be sitting at home going, oh, well, it's motor racing, it's tactical, you know, you're an idiot. But
it'd be nice if it didn't have to be so tactical sometimes and they could just race 100%.
It'd make it a bit more enjoyable. Like even if Lando put up a bit of a fight against Max, and okay, he was going to get overtaken, granted. And I know people go, oh, you don't want to waste your tyres and all of this stuff, but I don't know. I'd still like to see a bit of racing. But anyway, that's just me. Let me know what your thoughts are.
And then generally from there, the race got pretty boring, didn't it?
It did get very boring, yeah.
It stalemated until K-Mag broke down.
Yeah, just pulled up. And obviously that brought out virtual safety.
Oh, so VSE comes up on the screen right in front of me. And
Lewis goes round. Yeah. So does
Lando. I'm with another influencer called Kira. And we're like, I hit her and I'm like, VSE. And then we look down and we're like, shit. You hit her? Yeah, like, you know, look. Like she hasn't seen the VSE sign. I had to make her aware. I did her a favour. And then I'm like, oh no, Lewis just drives past.
I saw that because me and Glenn were talking in the chat and I was like.
And we were just like, fuck. And then I was like, hang on. Like, I was looking at where K-Mag was and I was like, there's no chance they can get that car out the way within a lap. Like this VSC is not. And then she was saying, this is going to be a full safety. And I was like, I hope you're right. And then here it came.
Interestingly, they did say if Lewis had gone in the first instant, he would have come out in P2 anyway, because Lando would have had to gone round again.
Oh, he would have been out in front.
They're saying that he would have been out in front of Lando, because if Lando had just missed the pit entry and Lewis had gone in under the virtual safety car, he would have gone in.
He'd gone past it anyway. Yeah. He? So.
But no, full safety car came out and it kind of completely changed a race, which was pretty.
It got stale.
It got stale.
It started well.
And it changed everything. It benefited Lewis massively. Lando kept his place in P2. Max obviously pitted in P1.
And George, like, obviously got annoyed that Lewis was in front of him, but George didn't gain or lose any position. So I don't really know why he was annoyed.
No, I think, I think for him, he was, well, Ferrari's lost a lot of positions.
Yeah, but they lost a lot of positions in the race.
they did, but that didn't help them.
Well, mainly Sainz.
But Lewis, considering he was P9 at one point, to get P3, it was brilliant. So gutted for Piastri, I have to say. Obviously, we are Lewis fans.
It would have been nice to see him
on the podium. But again, this goes down to what you say. You know, you reap
what you sow.
You get your luck, and Lewis now makes it 14 podiums, the most for one track.
I've got a good stat for you here.
Okay.
Lewis Hamilton is 5 podiums away from 200 career podiums. Do you want to know a cooler stat? He's got more podiums than Nico Hülkenberg has race entries.
Has he? That's a good stat. I like that one. Let's quickly touch on some of the teams. So Ferrari finished P9, P10. They had a bit of a shocker. I mean, they at one point, when you're battling the Williams, you know you've had a bad afternoon.
In the space of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 corners, Carlos Sainz got overtaken by Perez, Albon, and his teammate Leclerc. I don't know what he was up to, but it got real bad for him.
Yeah, he was getting very frustrated, especially on the team radio. Alex Albon, as we said earlier, phenomenal weekend, finishing P8, bringing home 4 points for the team. Fernando Alonso, it is Aston Martin's. I mean, I know a few races ago he was saying that was the last time you're not going to see me on the podium. They've really struggled.
I think what he meant is that was the last time you were going to see me on the podium.
Sergio Perez in P6. Again, I mean, for me,
damage limitation.
It's damage limitation, but it's disappointing. It's disappointing in that. George Russell P5, Oscar Piastri in P4. I mean, to be fair, my concern at the end of it is Lando did phenomenal on the hards once after the safety car. He did well to hold off Lewis. He obviously cooked those softs way too much, and obviously Lewis and the strength of that McLaren as well on top of those with the hards. I think he did a phenomenal job to keep it as it was. And then my concern was Piastri was going to get Lewis at the end.
Yeah, I wasn't really worried about that. I was watching the timing board constantly. It didn't look a risk. And we knew that the softs could go for a while. That just isn't something that worried me.
No.
I was just disappointed that Lewis couldn't get Lando, but I was happy for Lando either way, and happy that Lewis got on the podium too.
It was great to see Lando and Lewis on the podium. That was really cool to see. In his first time, do you know since when you had two Brits on the podium at Silverstone?
Yeah. 1999, Eddie Irvine and David Coulthard.
Well done. So the standing so far is Max is walking away with it with 255 points. Sergio Perez is still second with 156 points. Fernando Alonso is still third with 137 points, but closely behind is Lewis Hamilton with 121.
Lewis is coming for him.
You're then going down into double figures with Carlos Sainz in P5, Russell in P6, Leclerc 7th, Lance Stroll is P8. Lando Norris, with those points this morning, yesterday, is now in P9, and Ocon is P10. They gained 30 points yesterday, McLaren. That's the most they've had all season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. They've jumped Alpine.
Yeah.
But just quickly, before we're signing off, points difference between teammates, all right?
Yeah.
Without looking at your little screen, you cheat. Who's got the biggest points difference?
I would normally say Max and Perez.
Yep. 99 points.
Yeah.
Who's got the second biggest?
Alonso Stroll.
It's not far off. It's 93 points.
Is it?
Alonso Christ. Has 93 more points.
Which, I mean, Lance Stroll took off Gasly yesterday. I mean, I don't know what he was doing, really, to be fair.
He should have been pulled out of that race. He should have been dragged out of that car as well. Never.
He was not on a good one.
And then you got Hamilton, Russell, 39 points.
Yep.
Norris and Piastri, 25 points. Ocon, Gasly, 15 points. You know, it all starts to get a little bit closer. Because Bottas and Zhou, they're very close. 1 point in it. Sainz, Leclerc, 9 points. But yeah, it's interesting to see.
Interesting.
Obviously, you would expect the bigger gap between the higher teams because there are more points at stake, but 99 points and 93 points is a huge gap.
Interestingly, so Mercedes leaped Aston Martin yesterday to go second in the constructors with 203 points. Red Bull.
They were above them anyway. No? They've been second for a while.
Was it last race they went above them?
They've been above them for a while.
Well, Aston Martin got 181 points. Okay, so either or, the second and third. Ferrari in P4. McLaren, with those points yesterday, went up to 59 points into P5. Alpine P6, Williams up to P7 on joint same points as the Haas, and AlphaTauri only have 2 points this year. Alfa Romeo 9 points. It's interesting. So obviously up next is Budapest. It's going to be very different. So it'd be very interesting to see if the McLarens can actually replicate another phenomenal performance this weekend.
Maybe we'll finally get these Mercedes upgrades.
Oh, move on. Move on.
I think they're actually coming in Spa.
Are they? Mm. Ugh, I can't. And that's the last race before the summer break, isn't it?
And it's after Budapest.
Yes. Let us know what your thoughts are. Obviously, we are not on YouTube this week, so we'll be back on YouTube next week. But do leave us a rating on Spotify. Let us know. Do contact us on Instagram and Twitter. Leave us some DMs, messages. Let us know what your thoughts are on the podcast. As we said, we'll be back next week for a race preview of Budapest, which I like Budapest. Obviously, my favourite is still, you know, the whole Bottas playing bowling and Ocon going to win and Lewis starting on Inters. Was
the only man on the grid.
Only man on the grid. It was chaos, but it was brilliant. Great balance. What was it between Ocon and Alonso? Oh, no, Vettel. Vettel, wasn't it?
What?
P1 and P2 at the time.
Yeah. So it was Seb going for P2.
Yeah. P1.
Yeah, P1, sorry.
That race had everything.
And Lewis just got P3, didn't he?
He did. But yeah, that race had everything. It was great. But yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on the Silverstone Grand Prix. Anything else you want to touch on before?
No. I think we've hit a lot of points.
We've discussed a lot today. So yeah, have a great week. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.